Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman, Jeff Thomas and Matt Rodriguez-Payne. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week in a very stressed frame of mind after Robert's yolk split and, worst of all, Brian's pork fat got in Kate's tofu scramble and Mr. Prickles went into space. None of that seems like a real sentence, does it? Just a strange collection of words. Anyway, we were where we were. Last week, I moaned about the unlikelihood of Jimmer saying roasties. This week, it was Brian saying that Alice reached out to him. The only reaching out, Brian understands, is when you pinch a lady's bottom at race day. Kate has a tie-dye jumpsuit and a big Snoopy nose. Kate and Alice cornered Brian about his dating. "It isn't anything serious," said Brian earnestly, "just a hand shandy behind the bus shelter." Brian and his fancy piece trotted off to Les Soeurs Heureuses, where Brian said, "Jenny and I were together for 46 years and always loved each other and had a happy marriage, especially the part where she, in her 50s, brought up my mistress's child while I swanned about my estate going on shoots. That was one of the best bits." Miranda Fancy Piece invited Brian back to her place, not for coffee, she said, as we've already had that, but for some sex. Brian said he wasn't that kind of girl and hurried away. He then decided to invite her to the ball, got into his dinner jacket and then offered her something fruity. That made them late, so they swanned in right in front of Lillian and Justin, who were suitably horror-struck, and there was much pursed lip chatter and the middle-class equivalent of Les Dawson pushing his boobs sideways. Justin seems to be treating Brian not as the extremely wealthy, philandering Casanova that he is, but as a nervous virgin who's just inherited millions from a grandparent and wicked Miranda is about to make him sign the lot over. Linda. No, where were we? No, I'm lost. Oh, there we go. Linda instructed Robert to go out and get out of the house, then told him off for getting out of the house and being in her way simultaneously. She then tried to persuade him that he was an artist. Surely that is one of those things that you either are or you're not. You can't be forced into it by a well-meaning spouse keen to get you out of the house so she can have a quiet 10 minutes in the shepherd's hut watching videos of Monty Don potting up sweet peas with his sleeves rolled up. Chris tried to press gang Stella and Hannah into joining the cricket club and Hannah tried to press gang Chris into going out with her. He won't, or rather he will for a bit and then he'll dump her as he's still in love with Alice and then Hannah will be heartbroken for the third time. Hannah recalled going out with Tom and said we were both in a weird place. They certainly were on the sofa at number one, the green, I think. Blimey, we just got rid of the longest drinker and now we've got the longest flipping pony. We had a positive blizzard of names to deal with. Finn, Hazeldine, Steve, Valerie, all to find out if Bartleby was the oldest living pony, which we were apparently doing so that Georgie could become a YouTube millionaire. I don't think Andrew Tate made his money from talking about ponies, Georgie. I could be wrong. I know I'm out of touch. But my instinct tells me it was far more to do with the fact that he told lots of spotty 14-year-old boys that it wasn't because they smelled of skips that Emily Price in 3H wouldn't show them her bra. It was all because of feminism. Anyway, I digress. Linda echoed what we were all thinking and said, surely there are more suitable candidates for president of the cricket club, like Bartleby or one of the Montbelliards, Fat Paul possibly. But no, Harrismont and Chris want it to be Linda because that will take care of all that diversity and equality stuff. Oh, yes, that will entirely take care of that, Chris, you donger. Brief insight into Pip and Stella's relationship. Not the obvious one, that Pip is a monster mother whose idea of a date is going to toddle a pottery and applauding Rosie's every move. But the Stella doesn't have Pip's number in her mobile. If I ring Jeff, I don't say, "Hello, it's Lucy." And if he said, "Sorry, who is this?" I'd have a fair idea that his birthday present had not been up to snuff and I was dumped. Anyway, Pip had to announce herself to Stella, which was either really clumsy script writing or an indication of how not into this Stella is. She got even less into it after a 3-hour puppet show and then utterly failed to talk to Pip about it. It is very, very difficult, as every mother thinks their child is the greatest and should be admired often and for prolonged periods. But when you're around other mothers, you realise that you're not unique in this feeling and that you should guard against it. I once listened to a mother tell me that statistically attractive children made more friends than unattractive ones. And so that was a great relief for us with preschool coming up, as Benjamin should be fine.
I looked
across at her toddler, who A, had impetigo, B, looked like a potato in a snowsuit, and B, was picking his nose and eating it. The trouble is, Pip hasn't been around any normal mothers to learn from. Rosie has been passed to her mother, grandmother and uncle, and Pip's interactions have been probably late at the school gate and well covered in silage, apart from that strange friend who appeared and disappeared with equal abruptness. I have been, and I'm sure you have too, in a position where a doting mother made me sit through a 45-minute piano concert by her 6-year-old who hadn't got past Für Elise, also a hipster dad once made us all, children included, listen to their 2-year-old's lisping rendition and dance routine to Audio Bullies' Shot Me Down. As everyone knows, that song appears to go on for several years, and I felt every moment of them. He was then concerned that we hadn't paid enough attention, so made the 2-year-old do it again. Also, Rosie's 5. 5-year-olds will take everything you've got. They don't care if you're tired, if your back hurts, or if you just want a bit of quiet. They will extract every ounce of energy attention you have, and that is their job. As a mother, your job is to tell your child when to stop. And Stella's clearly is to tell Pip. The end.
I really thought this week was so funny and so brilliant. It was best Archer's territory, wasn't it?
Yes.
Just funny, bitchy, hilarious, and a bit of old pony.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it. And an intro to new Robert.
Yeah. Catherine Rowan-Jones described it as, she said, I loved Sunday with Kate and Alice talking about Brian, shades of Charles Parris singing Start Me Up in the bathroom. I actually lolled. Tonight's super snarking at the ball was delicious. I was giggling with glee. We even heard from Pip, which will please a minority audience, just James Everett. Yes.
Yes. Everything was completely perfect.
Yes.
Thank you so much, everybody. Yes. And Friday was the cherry on the cake, wasn't it? With the ball, but also Stella trying to tell Pip that she doesn't want to spend so much time with Rosie is absolutely amazing.
Yep.
I love that. I love
and
it
so
difficult.
Much. She's in such a difficult position.
Rosie really loves you, Stella.
And I'm happy about that. Yeah. Of course you are, because she's watching a 3-hour puppet show. You're probably off, you know, spring cleaning something that you've been putting off for ages, or sorting out your airing cupboard, or, you know, doing your invoices or something. Well, Stella is literally trapped in front of a 5-year-old with an ego the size of Scotland.
Oh,
can you imagine?
It's like today I felt a bit like Stella today, because last week I went and did some stuff with the little ones in the school, and we did some fun games, you know, like, but I had half an hour set aside for that.
Yeah.
I performed and I was funny and, you know, like, got all the kids on my side. And then today I was in the park, but just as a mum, not as a you know, sort of entertaining children. And one of the kids was like just wanting me to do that game over and over again, and I just went, do you know what, I'm not going to do it today.
Yeah.
Sorry. And because his mum wasn't listening, because I was like, just go away.
Yeah.
No, just, you know, you know, there's a time and a place. Sometimes you've got the energy, but mostly you haven't. And also, like, if you're the mum and there's a child sort of like trying to get your attention, mm-hmm. and annoying you while you're trying to have an adult conversation, as the mother, you need to be aware of that.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Step in and remove your child. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. You have to be able to. It's because she hasn't got much kind of.
But she's got no self awareness at all. But
anyone, not even self awareness. She hasn't got awareness of anyone else. She doesn't have any. She just thinks, I think Rosie's great. Everyone thinks Rosie's great.
Well, also because Ruth will be going, oh, Rosie's puppet shows. Oh, Stella, I wish I was in the audience.
Yeah.
But Hannah's a great sidekick to Stella, isn't she? Don't you think?
Yeah.
When they were eye rolling together, when Stella was like, Hannah was like, hasn't it finished yet? No, it's just the interval. Oh my God, I loved it so much, so much. I hope it continues for ages.
Carla Davitt made a good point, though. She said, puppet shows by five-year-olds are universally dreadful. I have survived many. But Stella must appreciate that Pip and Rosie come as a package deal. It's interesting imagining a heterosexual context and a man saying he only wanted to see the child in small doses. It doesn't really fly. I think Stella's being a little naive here, or perhaps rethinking the relationship overall and realising she really isn't interested in becoming a parental figure at this point.
I don't know, because I think if I think if it was me and I was a single mum and had a kid and entered a new relationship, I think you would probably have 6 months in, or when you were feeling that things were going very well and there might be a long-term future in this, then perhaps you might have a conversation about... Oh my God, you're gone.
No, I've only gone because James Everett has just hurriedly messaged me and I need to reply to him. So I'm listening to you, but I'm muting myself while I type.
James is back.
Yes,
James
is back. Kind of. But anyway, keep talking. Okay. And then I'll keep talking.
I'll babble on. If it was me, I think I would like to have a conversation about that and say, are you comfortable in a parental role? Because I wouldn't want to force that on you. And 6 months, or however long it's been, maybe it hasn't even been that long with those two, isn't that long. And actually, if you're getting Stella to do every bedtime story and telling her that Rosie loves her, and then you're putting quite a lot of pressure on your new partner, and
yes,
also on your actually sort of endangering your kid, because for all Pit knows, in a year they might have split up.
Yeah,
you know, it's
absolutely
quite early days.
It's very early days
for puppet shows, Lizzie.
And but you can, because you know, when you can, reading between the lines, Rosie does sound like a bit of a nightmare.
Oh my God.
And we're even, because Pip says, oh, so much energy, so yeah, much energy, that means total nightmare, you know, my God, I want to kill her sometimes. So there, you can, it's not really fair to just say to Stella, oh, but she loves you so much.
Yeah.
And I love that she loves you so much. And you think,
yeah,
no, she's still your problem. And you, mm-hmm, it's up to you to entertain her, and you can't just, you know, pass her over.
You've got to be careful with relationship. Mm. And also, but then Pip, it must be so lovely for Pip to have, although, for God's sake, Rosie has a dad, you know, like, I know Toby's not around a lot, but
she has a dad, she has a mother, she has a grandmother, she has two uncles.
Oh my God.
You know,
I mean, Pip only does one bedtime story a week, which is shameful. She's just constantly like passing Rosie out, isn't she, for bedtimes?
Yeah.
Or whatever that phrase is.
Yeah.
Passing her over. No, not right. But it is just a very, 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 very clever thing to put.
Yes.
To light amongst that relationship.
But for me, Stella is being a bit too polite. She's saying, oh, but you know I love her.
But
and I'm thinking,
so
oh, just be
hard.
Honest and say, oh, God, she's knackering and I don't want
to... No, but if she says to...
Not to Pip, but if she just said to Hannah... God, she's a pain in the arse.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Exactly. There wasn't quite enough truth coming out of that mouth. No, because she was like, oh, and she's adorable. And I was like, don't believe you. I do not believe you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're thinking, she's really annoying. She might have been cute at the very beginning and now she's really starting to grate on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I agree. She is being a bit too nicey-nicey.
And also, if you're going out with someone as a, you know, they're not married, they haven't been in a relationship very long. Well, blimey, Pip's only just decided that she, you know, she's gone off the whole willy thing, you know. So why, you know, to sort of suddenly find yourself being in loco parentis of a five-year-old and you're both just sitting on the sofa completely exhausted.
Well, because that's another thing, isn't it? I guess if Stella has got a very busy job, and as she said, she's always got paperwork in the evening, and she's got her routine. And actually, there's no way I would sit through a puppet show that my children were doing, because there is just not enough hours in the day for that. Because by the time you've finished work and then you've made dinner and tidied up and all that, and then there just isn't, sadly, if you're a full, you know, working full time, there is no time to play with your kids. There isn't.
No.
Sadly. There is time for a 10-minute bedtime story, hopefully, if you're lucky. But
yeah,
it's hard otherwise, isn't it?
Yeah. And to be, when it's not your, not only that it's not your child, but when you're just, you know, you're just tentatively entering a new relationship with somebody, it's not sexy to be kind of just exhausted and
I felt
covered
like
in
that.
Finger paints. And,
I
know.
Like when Pip got all sexed up when she was like, let's go into the bedroom, it's 4:30 p.m. But actually, great that, you know, she, but that they do obviously are still very attracted to each other. But then, but actually, aren't they sort of in the back of both of their minds is, oh, but she's got to go and pick up Rosie in a minute. And like it's sort of going to be, Rosie's become this sort of, unsexy. Mm. Shadow loom. And Pip being all mumsy and lovely is the unattractive side of her, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which probably isn't a very.
But then I suppose it's unrealistic for them to be, you know, having dinner out in Borchester 3 nights a week.
Yeah.
Instead. Yeah. But, oh dear. It's just, you know, they could do with a bit of time. And as we said, it's not like they're not short of people to babysit, is it, really?
Exactly. But I think probably. Adam
and Ian barely see Xander. They just need to take a leaf out of his. They're booked, and they just
him. Yes,
that one's always asleep. Yes, he's either on the swings in the distance,
or Alice is looking after him in the playground, isn't she? But I know, I can't remember what I was going to say. Hannah, because I really. I've always loved Hannah as a character and I love her directness. I think it might be, I think Hannah's accidentally going to say something.
Yeah.
Because that is an impossible situation for Stella to be.
I know it's what they always do. It's classic script writing trope. So on Sunday night, she'll bump into Pip and she'll say, oh, you look well, da 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 da, and Pip will say something about me and Stella, and she says, "Oh, good, so she did talk to you then."
Yes,
and then she'll go, "What about?" And then there we go.
Classic Archer. Bring it on.
Basically, classic misunderstanding. Any sort of sitcom with that kind of plot will just come
brilliant.
Up with
something. Oh, she didn't say. Oh, yeah. I love Hannah.
Oh no,
I
no, her and Chris no, it's up. Fine. No, don't worry. No, it wasn't anything. Stella, what did you say about Rosie? Yes.
She said she really loves her, actually.
Yeah. And she wants to have twins with you.
Oh, my God. That will be the other twist, won't it? That Hannah then has to skewer it and it'll be like, she'll tell Pip that Stella's really keen to have her own little mini Rosie. Oh! but Hannah and Chris, I think, are very well suited.
Mm.
I think Chris is quite sexy, Hannah.
Yeah.
And when he was being all, I thought they played that so brilliantly as well. When Chris was talking to Hannah about cricket at the very start of the week, and she was just like, what? She was just, so sweet. But I thought Chris's obliviousness was terribly attractive.
Really?
Didn't you? Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think he was aware.
No,
and I think that's quite sexy, isn't it?
But I just had my head in my hand listening to Hannah say, "Oh, you normally drink lager, don't you?" I haven't. It's not that I've noticed it, you know. And you just think,
I know.
Oh,
but God. I was basically mouthing the words with her because that's how I'd behave with Chris too. Oh, silly me! Oh no, I mean, what am I like? Sorry, what? Cricket? Love it.
Because that's why she goes all... Because she does have... Hannah does have moments where she's rock hard and attacking everyone. Yeah. She's so
and direct.
Defensive
yeah.
and direct.
Yeah.
And she sort of attacks before... She attacks rather than defends. She just goes for them because there's a perceived slight or something. And she's much... If she was a bit more like that with Chris, he'd probably be a bit more attracted to her.
Yeah.
But when she's just so kind of...
she's jelly. But I think they'd make a very good couple, actually. And I think they will get together and Chris might fall in love with her and that will make Alice a bit...
Do you think?
I think there's definitely going to be a love triangle because they're not going to have a storyline where Hannah fancies Chris and it doesn't come to anything because that's boring, isn't it?
No, but I think Hannah will go out with Chris and then Chris will realise that he's still in love with Alice and then he'll dump Hannah.
But that would be awful for Hannah's self-confidence, because it sounds like she hasn't had anything since Tom.
No.
That was a long time. That was pre-COVID.
No, she hasn't.
You know, she had her, he was her special.
Oh, he said, she friend. Said, to, yeah, last time, didn't she?
Yeah, that, but it sounded, blimey. When she was talking to Stella, it sounded like that was the last time she had a love interest. And Tom was so despicable, really. Mm. But then she was being very, you know, what's the word when you're pretending you're, it was a bit like, you know, one day, wasn't it?
I think that's always the danger with those, because the kids call them situationships, not relationships. They're just situationships.
Okay.
Because you can't really blame the other person, because if you've gone in there thinking you're all, you know, hard as nails and say, yes, no, I'm only interested in sex and I don't want to get snatched. Da, 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 da. And then the bloke or the other party goes, okay, great. And then you do want something more. And they don't. You can't then be cross with them. That's one of the frustrations of it, I think. You haven't got a leg to stand on, because if you've made your position completely clear right from the start, you can't then resent anyone taking it at face value. The fact that they didn't change their position in the way that you did is nobody's fault.
But a lot of people do it as a defence mechanism. Yeah. A lot of it as a protective thing, don't they? Especially, oh my God, I don't want a relationship with you. Oh my God, no.
It's called, if you're an attachment avoidant personality, then it's absolutely perfect for you.
Yeah. I'm one of those people that I couldn't ever not get attached. I think it's quite hard for a lot of people to start a relationship like that on those grounds and then not get attached. Mm. Probably, is it a cliche to say it's worse for women?
I think it's... I think people are kidding themselves a lot of the time that they're going to be able to remain aloof. I'm not sure it's a woman thing not to be able to. I think it depends as well what the old biological clock's doing. I think that has an impact on it as well.
And your hormones.
But yeah, I think a lot of people start out thinking that they can do it, and sometimes they will claim that that's what they want because it's a shortcut to actually getting the person. Mm. And yes, then you hope.
Yeah,
that
of course.
They'll suddenly kind of come round, and then they don't, and then you feel stupid with yourself and angry with them and everything else, I think.
Devastating. But I really hope it works out for Hannah, because she deserves some good luck, I think.
Yeah.
I really like Hannah.
Yeah.
And what about lovely Michael Burtonshaw, Lucy?
Oh,
who's taken over from...
Yes.
Well, not taken over, who's obviously lovely Graham Blockley, was our dear but departed original Robert.
Yes. And he has replaced it.
So, but this was a nice intro, wasn't it, I thought?
Yeah. Well, nice Carla intro said, lovely to hear a new Robert, and for him to have a storyline of his own. I've missed the repartee between Linda and him.
Yes. It was, they really hammed it up, didn't they, this week?
Yeah.
I thought it was, of course, it's going to be a slightly different chemistry between different actors, isn't it? But I felt a bit like they were sort of overplaying the Robert felt a bit more useless than he used to be.
But he was also slightly more stressed.
Yeah,
because the old Robert was always like, "Come on, Lindy, it's all right."
Yes.
Whereas this Robert, she was calming him.
Yes, he was a bit of a fussy old man, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
But he's got a great, he's got sweet, funny bones.
Yeah.
I think.
Yes,
and I love his little mutterings that, you know, they're so perfect. And there was a scene where him and Oliver were the Mad March Hare on the first day of spring when they were looking at hares. And it felt like a Wind in the Willows narration that I have definitely heard on an audiobook. He must have done a Wind in the Willows, Michael Burtonshaw, because I was just sort of transported back to being about 12 and listening to something on a tape.
I think he played Badger.
Oh, right.
And it was the Alan Bennett one.
Oh,
and it was when
okay.
the director told them all, I've sold this story a million times in the show.
Go on, do it again.
The director told them all to go out and watch, find BBC Nature TV clips camera clips of the animal that they were representing. So whoever's doing Ratty had to walk like Ratty and whatever, you know, and sort of incorporate it into their performance. And he came back on Monday, and he wasn't very happy about being asked to do it because he thought it was stupid. And he came back on the Monday, and the director said, "And how did we all get on over the weekend? Would you like to share with us your experiences?" Whoever was playing Ratty. And he said, "Yes, well, I found that the rat, and so I'm going to start doing this." And he said, "And Michael, what about you?" And Michael said, "Well, I was staggered to discover that a badger walks exactly like Michael Burtonshaw." It's very good. Yes.
Very, very good. I thought that was they have a sweet relationship, and it was so nice to hear the two of them together. And there was so much. That's why it was such a great Archers week, wasn't it? There was so much opportunity for good old fashioned Archers,
yes,
innuendo. You know, when you know, all the Mr. Pickle and no, not, you know, the bad Airbnb client, and yes, the frying of the.
Yes, it was all very sitcom.
Let me look at your helly balls. Yes, it was all brilliant.
Yeah,
very sitcomy, wasn't it? And very likable, I thought.
Do you remember you were talking about Miranda's voice last week?
Yes, I do, Lucy. Hang on. No. Yes, I. Yeah.
This one's a work in progress.
Yes, a work in progress. TBC.
Well, Mark Atkins.
Oh, yeah.
Messaged and said, "Did you know that the actress who plays her, mm-hmm, is Simon Williams's wife in real life? So she really is Justin's wife."
Yes. No.
And her mother is Celia Johnson from Brief Encounter.
Oh my God.
The one who actually did, you know, the.
What? Terribly, terribly, terribly.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, brother, that can't be
brother
right.
Brother of Ian.
Brother
so finally,
of Ian.
A James Bond connection to Ambridge.
So Miranda is James Bond author's niece.
Yes.
That is some family to come from.
Yes.
She's actually Justin's wife in real life.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Oh, that is very, 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 very good.
But after we kept talking about Brief Encounter, and then it turns out that she really is the mother.
Amazing. Well, she does have the most terribly perfect voice. And when she said to, what did she say to Lillian? Oh, I've already forgotten. She said, it wasn't you look as old as the last day
you
I
look
saw
as
you.
You don't you look a day older
than I last saw you. Oh gosh, I can't believe I've already forgotten that line. I was like, I must remember that line. There, it's just very cool that all of that.
Yeah.
But what do you think her motives, because originally at the beginning of the week I thought, oh well, you know, she is looking for companionship and love.
No, she's not. She's looking to piss off.
To piss Justin off.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. By Friday, I actually was feeling a little bit worried for Brian.
Because.
And Brian did.
Because, well, Brian. In the slightest, but
Brian is quite nervous around her, isn't he? You know,
yeah,
he's a bit sort of. Oh.
Well, let's face it, it's the only legitimate relationship he's had.
My ancient fruity malt. Let me just reach down there and grab it. Oh, Bran. No, but she's definitely got the power, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Yes, and she was enjoying herself too much with Justin on Friday.
Yeah. And she was sort of saying things that were slightly unflattering to Brian and were more focused on, it doesn't matter what, who cares who's looking at you sort of thing. The main thing is that we piss off Justin kind of thing like that. It was, the focus was not...
Let's have a wonderful time. Mm. Yes, because she persuaded him that they should go.
Yeah, yeah.
But I am just delighted that I just hope she's going to stick around.
Yes,
and
me too.
And they're all going to get into all sorts of jolly japes. It's going to be jolly fun to watch. To listen.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
But actually, visually, but that's the thing about radio, isn't it? I expect we all have such clear visual. Although some people don't, do they? My friend, sorry, I should have explained what I was going to say. When I'm listening to the radio, although you can't see them in your head, you sort of can. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have visual pictures of them.
Yes,
do you?
Yes.
And most people do, don't they?
Yeah.
But my friend doesn't have that visual imagery. So it's a condition. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
And she didn't know she had it until she was well into adulthood. Because
is it prognosmia?
Maybe, something like that.
No, that's not it. That's the wrong thing. Oh, okay. God.
No, it is something like that, Lucy. That rings a bell.
But that's not it. But anyway, yes, carry on.
But she can't visualise in her head. So when she's listening to the radio, she doesn't, the pictures aren't sort of running through her brain, or she can't sort of even visualise memories. Or if someone says sunset, she doesn't see it.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
And I'd never heard of that before. And she obviously didn't even know that she was like, I'm really annoyed because I didn't know I was missing out on anything.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make any difference to my life.
Now,
but now it does.
I want to sue someone.
Because everyone's going, oh my God, you poor thing. But yes, Miranda is, I love picturing Miranda.
Yes.
And it was, and all that sort of, well, you must have a terribly good cosmetic surgeon.
Yeah.
He must give you his number.
And then Lily says something like, no, all of them, they all have their limits. Yeah. And she said, clearly.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
Who wrote this week? Do you think it was Kerry?
I think it was Sarah Hehir.
Oh, right. Oh, yes. It was what a week to be given, because it's so good. And I actually really enjoyed, I know it's getting into who's the oldest person who's been at the Bull territory, but then I think the Bartleby thing is quite good because I didn't know how old a horse could get to. And to know that the oldest horse in the world was 62, well,
or,
there's a
or
fact.
Or did care, but anyway, yes.
I don't know. I like that. More Bartleby, please. Bartleby's like one of those celebrities that you think has already died and then you find out they haven't died and you're like, oh my God.
And then they do awkward. Die and no one goes, oh, how awful. Everyone just goes, blimey, were they still alive? And it'd be awful, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it be awful?
Now, we appear to have had a message from Kenny Dalglish, which I'm assuming it's not the Kenny Dalglish. That would be really weird. But anyway,
you never know.
This Kenny Dalglish is in Norway. Fan.
Excellent.
He says, I've been chuckling away at the extensive use of the term bell end. As a nautical cove, I can recommend the following modifiers. Ocean-going bell end, or perhaps coastal bell end and cross-channel bell end for less serious offences. Or if things escalate, they could be interplanetary, interstellar or intergalactic bell ends. Two, I'm with Harriet on the ski lift singing. As a family, we sing rounds on chairlifts, and our poor children are at least the fifth generation to be afflicted with this habit after my late grandmother was taught some of the songs by her relatives when she was evacuated to Canada in the war.
Wow!
So
see,
if you
it's
were
not just
a,
me.
If you were on a chairlift and you hear another lunatic singing, no, you'll know it's probably Kenny Dalglish.
We do rounds as well.
Oh.
I think that's what chairlifts were designed for. Nothing to do with getting you up a mountain.
Singing.
But just singing in rounds. Mm. Oh, that's very... Because last week I felt like I might be a bit of a dick, Lucy.
No,
but clearly
no.
I'm not. Kenny's emailed us before from Norway, I think.
Has he?
Yes.
No, we have this Ben in Norway. He emails us sometimes.
Oh, Ben in Norway. Benny and Kenny. Sorry, it's hard to keep up.
And he also said, you know, the quacking on What the Hell Is Happening Here? He said he thought it had escaped from the soundtrack to Sarah and Duck, as narrated by the inestimable Roger Allen, didn't occur to me that they might be anything else, which is a bit odd now I come to think about it, he says.
Do you want an Archer's fact about Sarah and Duck?
Go on then.
You know, the my friend, the actor who plays Lillian's son.
James, James Bellamy. Yeah.
His daughter, who's grown up now, was, or probably still is from the old episodes, the voice of Sarah.
Ah!
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bit of an Archers link there for you. Good show, Sarah and Duck.
This is from Morag Sugarthump. Not her real name.
Great name.
She says...
Oh, she does say the silliest things.
She said, she's a new listener to us. She said, I've been listening to The Archers for around 15 years now, minus the COVID monologues, snorgasm. But I've never listened to an accompanying podcast until a friend recommended yours. I never realised just how much catharsis could be found in listening along as you and your contributors rant and dissect and shed little Archers tears. It would appear that Harassment Burns will soon be needing to find alternative employment. Now, I know what the most popular prediction is, that he will end up behind the bar at the ball, but might I suggest another solution? We all know how much he loves the outdoors, after discovering things called trees at some point last year. Oh, yes. I was thinking that when Ed and Emma start up their tree surgery business, they'll soon discover that they need someone to tidy up after them while they get on with the exciting tree climbing and chainsaw work that they have trained for. All those bits of cut-off timber and brush will need to be dragged out and fed into the chipper by someone. In the trade, we refer to this person as... the brush bitch, and perhaps brush bitch Burns will finally find his happy place out there in the nature. Please a shout out to Boris, not his real name either, in South Africa for the recommendation, and keep up your brilliant work. Thank you very much, Boris, not your real name in South Africa.
And thank you so much, Morag, not your real name. But are you actually in the trade, Morag?
Well, she's in a trade.
Tree cutting.
In the trade, yes.
Do you? I'd forgotten about the Harrison and his... trees. His
yes.
tree just...
Do you remember that? Where do flies sleep? Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was the classic line.
It was harassment off his head.
And Fallon just rolling
It's the kind of question that
eyes.
Someone asks you at 2:30 in the morning in a student house. Yeah. When everyone's eaten 3 pizzas each. Right. Now, who is next? This is from Joe from Yorkshire, travelling the world, currently in Vietnam, she says.
Oh,
as a result of James's shout out for characters you'd like to hear in his degree distraction module, and with the appearance of a new Robert, I have a request. For those of us who have been listening for a mere decade, we haven't heard new actors replace older ones. Mm. And it seems there are more than I realised. Clary, Kate, Tom, Pip, Tony, Emma, and maybe there are more. Could James find in the archives some of the old actors for us to listen to, guess, and then reveal the replacement? I'm curious to hear whether they've tried to replicate the accents or have ignored the previous actor to sound more like themselves.
That is such a good game.
It is, isn't it?
What a good idea. I can tell you that Kelly Bright used to be Kate, didn't she?
Yeah.
And wasn't Susie Riddell, who plays Tracy,
she
wasn't
was
she Kate?
She was Kate's
early
child,
days,
yeah.
Kate.
Yeah.
And... when Emerald O'Hanrahan became Emma, who was the old Emma? The old Emma was the movie star Felicity.
Yeah.
What's her face?
Yeah.
But I remember Emerald saying that she listened a lot to Susan
yes.
to get the voice.
And she has got it. She's
good
got
way
it
in.
Perfectly
oh, yeah,
well.
Yeah.
She's
yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But that is a very good game, if
yeah.
anyone can be bothered to find
yeah.
those references.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I'll play along, please. Oh, and they did mention Roy this week, didn't they? Which means that...
Did they?
Yes, they said... Oh, what was it? Maybe they were talking about the ball or... They were talking about something that people were going to go to. Oh, no, it was the cricket. The cricket. And Chris was sort of saying who signed up and he mentioned Roy.
Oh, yes.
Which implies that hopefully Roy will continue as... you know, perhaps he'll
be
replaced.
A presence one way or another.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah.
We've had an email from Vary who says, catching up with Sunday's Ambridge on the couch while waiting at the bus stop, hadn't noticed my headphones had disconnected and the man next to me thought that I listened to the Gladiators theme tune on my travels.
No.
Also, Mr. Gillespie, this is her husband, Mr. Gillespie is now a member of the What the Hell is Happening era club, despite not listening to you or the Archers. It goes very well as an accompaniment to those Channel 5 dramas stripped across the week.
I have a heart attack if my earbuds get disconnected
oh, yeah.
and the whole tube starts listening to what I'm like. It's like my heart gets a flutter. I'm like, I don't usually listen to this. It's just my kids must have downloaded it. It's a horrible feeling that everybody's suddenly watching you and judging you on what you're listening to or watching.
Catherine Palazzola, Katie Palazzola, sorry, says...
CC?
She says, my daughter, it's headed, my daughter, Adam Macy. She said, I have no idea where she got it, but my toddler has started saying, I haven't got time, in a very Adam Macy sort of way when I ask her to do something. She's currently learning to use the big person, Lou, and especially favours it as a response to, do you need to go pee? Can you imagine? I haven't got time. She said, I have a Harry question. Do we definitely for sure know that it's alcohol or that it's only alcohol? I might have missed where he acknowledged that it was, and I'm sure he would have been breathalyzed when arrested, but I keep thinking there's something more to this, especially remembering the conversation he had with Dr. Malik. Could it be drugs as well? Maybe some painkiller booze interactions?
Oh, my God. We'd completely sort of forgotten about that. That doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
She was just saying you've got some, your blood tests are showing something dodgy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they can't be just leaving it at that then? Do you think that was just a sort of like a sort of teaser for us?
I don't know, because someone else this week said, well, what's happened about the pub? What's happened about those blokes and the dog fight?
Oh, that'll definitely come back.
I mean, it'll come back, won't it?
Yeah. So, it's funny how quick you just completely forget.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was just the doctor thing was just a sort of, I don't know, maybe sort of make, yeah.
Yeah.
Just give us a bit of speculation.
Yeah.
And on another note, Katie's time flies, doesn't it? Because Katie's just had a baby.
Yes.
And from now, what I remember.
It's saying, I haven't got time.
God, the years fly suddenly.
Well, talking of things that we can't remember, which is nearly everything, let's face
obviously.
It. We were talking about Alistair's gambling last week, that we'd all forgotten that he had a gambling problem and you and I were trying to recall what it was and et cetera. And Terry White has said, mention of Alistair's gambling reminded me. Shula mortgaged the stables, and on the day that the money came through, Alistair visited Matt Crawford, who'd been the one putting pressure to hand over a cheque for what was owed. Matt was in the middle of a poker school when Alistair called round and actually invited him to join them. Anyone pining for the return of Matt should remember this side of him. Ooh. Alistair then went home to Shula, and after a minute or so's pillow talk, Shula said, do you want to, you know, the insatiable woman wanted sex. Alistair declined, and barely 10 years later, she said she wanted a divorce.
That's a good memory.
Yeah. Well, it's a really unpleasant memory, actually, of Shula wanting sex. But yes, but I had forgotten that nastiness of Matt. That kind of exploitative.
Yeah, horrible.
Not very nice. Oh, Mary Wimbush, we were talking about as well.
Yeah.
She was in, this is from Pat Brown. She was in Love's Old Sweet Song, which was excellent. If it's still available on BBC Sounds. Mary Wimbush actually played both twins in the show, in the play, which.
What's it called? Love's Old Sweet Song.
Yeah. It's very good. I enjoyed it anyway. You think it's a bit vanilla, and then it suddenly gets much more interesting. I don't think I'm giving too much away by saying that.
From 1985.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that.
So Pat said she played both twins,
Downloading.
Which must have been a bit confusing even without drink taken. Nelson and Julia were among requests for James, and I wonder whether you remember when Radio 4 asked us to vote for our favourite Archers clip. One was the infamous shower scene. One involved Shula, possibly Mark's demise, but the winner was when Julia found red high heels in Nelson's wardrobe. It would be great if James could find that one.
Oh, poor James. We put so much on his plate again. Remember, guys, he has other stuff to do at uni. We're just going to let him breathe, come to us whenever he likes. We're not going to ask anything, okay?
Also, Deborah, this has jogged a lot of people's minds. Deborah Payne has messaged and said, I've been listening to The Archers for 50 years and I have very fond memories of Mrs. P, a.k.a. Granny P, and Walter Gabriel, a.k.a. Uncle Walter. Walter fancied the pants off Mrs. P and she was always gently but firmly fending him off, although I think she secretly rather liked it. He always called her Mrs. P Mom. Their repartee always made me smile.
Oh, that's sweet. Oh, I like that. I like those sort of those relationships that, you know, that never come, you know, they were never those old-fashioned relationships.
Yeah. And it the was will, they won't, they. Unconsummated
different statuses,
love. Yes.
So they couldn't ever admit it. Oh, cute.
Okay. This is from Jin David again.
Yep.
Who says, hello. Noswaith da, Lucia Harriet.
Cariad.
Just a few comments of the week so far. Love Miranda playing the Ice Queen, but I have no recollection of Jenny being her confidant. My memory of Miranda coming to Ambridge was her being very sneery and uppity and looking down on the local oiks, Jenny Darling included. In fact, she was a right cow. Also, where is this grade 2 listed townhouse shag pad of hers supposed to be? Just off the bypass. Last time I heard, she and Justin were living in London when they were married. When Justin moved to Borsetshire, he made huge efforts to ingratiate himself with the local business community. Now we find out that the house Miranda got as part of the divorce settlement is within Zimmer distance of Les Soeurs Heureuses. Righto. Finally,
Les Soeurs Heureuses.
Finally, poor Stella. She has stumbled into an episode of Mother Makes Five and Pip Ain't No Wendy Craig. Stella, save yourself. Oh, and also he says, my highlight of the year was Linda's pronunciation of gouache.
Yes. Just heaven. There was so much good Linda, wasn't there?
Gouache, yes.
Oh, you do say the nicest things. You do say the silliest things.
Joanne says, now I'm worried, she says, it's headed, like there wasn't enough to worry about in life. Then the email starts, now I'm worried about a fictional pony. George is a little slime ball. He's spending a lot of time getting other people to help him monetize Bartleby for his own gain. It's not like he'll spend any of it towards the pony's upkeep or share of it with Eddie, who's been paying for Bartleby's feed and taking care of him for years. It sounds like George ignoring Bartleby's health issues while he's busy talking Robert into ascertaining the pony's age. I have an uneasy feeling that by the time they get the info he needs to officially declare Bartleby the oldest pony, he'll find that he's too late because the poor creature has died of old age and neglect.
Oh, no.
And will George learn anything from the experience, feel remorseful and become a more responsible person? Not a chance. He will just sulk and be nasty and blame someone else for it. I hope George moves away from Ambridge soon. He does nothing but stress me out. Anxiously, Joanne.
Joanne. Don't worry.
I
think even George has a big soft spot for Bartleby.
Mm.
I think Bartleby is very well loved and cared for from all family members.
Yes.
Although, yeah, I wouldn't want George as sole carer.
No. God, no. Kate Nichols said, thank you for your always fabulous podcast. I just wanted to give an extra thank you for all the mini dramas you must spend ages writing, creating, editing. They're all brilliant and make me laugh out loud on my walks every week. I have learned the hard way not to listen on the train anymore. I had a plumber in
Kiss
to fix my central... I had a plumber in to fix my central heating this week. And of course, his name was Colin. I managed not to speak in a Febreze voice, but of course, it was in my head all day. Best wishes to all of you and to all the lovely listeners of Ambridge on the Couch. I hope to meet some of you at the Academic Archers weekend.
Oh, when's that?
Don't know. It's a weekend.
It's too academic for us, Lucy.
Yes. We are too thick.
But I bet they're good fun.
Yes. I went to one.
Yeah, I remember.
Yes.
Yep, I remember you did.
And, oh, Rachel Kennedy says, yes. Oh, do you remember it was Matt's Spanish Flea last week?
Yeah.
The Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. She said, I loved the end music on this week's podcast. My husband walked in as it was playing and said, oh, Herb Alpert and Tijuana Brass. It was particularly appropriate as you had been discussing funeral exit music. One of my mother's oldest friends, Anne, died during COVID, thankfully during a time we were able to attend the funeral. Anne always thought that the Archers seemed to follow her farm and family life, even to the point of losing their beloved son far too early. They were at the forefront of organic farming. I seem to recollect that Pat Gallimore actually opened their farm shop. She plays Pat Archer in the Archers.
Yeah.
But I can't find anything to back up this memory. Anyway, it was the most beautiful service. And as it was closing, her daughter said she wanted us all to imagine Anne dancing around her kitchen to her favourite song and that we were all to dance out of the church to it.
Aww.
And that song was Spanish Flea. So thank you, Matt, for reminding me of a very lovely lady.
Oh, that's absolutely lovely.
Yes. So that is the end of the emails.
That is the end of the emails.
I'm going to have a go and see if I can find some of the old voices and see if we can guess who they are. Yes. Because I haven't got enough to do.
I was going to say, Are you sure you want to make that promise now, Lucy?
I didn't say when. I just said
also,
I would.
Also, you've got places to go tonight. Aren't you dancing on the town? Dancing on the tiles?
I'm going
tiling
to
the town?
I'm going to the pub with the children, yes. That's
okay. That okay. I thought you had some hot, jazzy night ahead of you.
No, you haven't been here, have you?
I think it's one of those, you know, like there's a Welsh, there's this excellent Welsh drama series about a village in Wales, about a pub. Anyone know what I'm talking about with Ellis James in it? Very, very good. Sort of a bit like, verges into sort of fantasy and myth, that sort of stuff. But anyway, magic, that sort of stuff. I sort of imagine the village a bit like that, full of characters.
Oh, yeah.
And dancing on the tables.
No? There's a lot of characters, yes.
Okay, no dancing on the tables.
Not yet. It's a bit too cold.
Not until I come down, Lucy.
My God.
We'll be doing rounds.
Singing on the
And
chair.
I don't mean beers. I mean singing. We'll be singing Edelweiss on the tables.
Said, right, everybody. I've had a really good... You'd be glassed before you...
Look, the kids at the primary school absolutely loved it.
They'd be carrying you out in a bag out the back.
Okay.
Oh, and now we have to cross over to Radio Borsetshire, Borchester, mm-hmm. Radio, whatever it is, Radio Borchester, for an outside broadcast from the Village Green.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, Colin, I feel springy. Spring has sprung. Sprung? I am going to completely revamp life and have hot boy summer. Yes. First step is springy clean all house. But most important thing before all that is change of fragrance and also start wear lightweight jacket to work, I think. What? What do you mean, is ailing? It is springy. Are you joke? Yes? Oh, no. Oh, no. Hello, hello, this is me, Fabrizia Felpersham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. I am visit a reenactment of the sealed twat. The sealed twat is when people dress up as peasants and kings and soldiers and show people what life would have been like 200 years ago. Terrible. No Netflix, no Grazia, and no sushi. But anyway, now we cross over to the Village Green at Ambridge, where the sealed twat is reenacting the Battle of Ambridge. Well, this is very exciting. There are smoky bonfires and people are clank when they walk. Who is that? Oh, I recognise. It is Radio Borchester finance man, Brian. Hello, Brian. Yoo-hoo. He is dressed very odd and he have not signed off my petrol receipt. Brian, did you get my... Oh, please put that down when talk to me or I shall scream.
Ha ha, don't you worry. Tis but a broadsword.
What do you mean, tis but? What is a tis but, Brian?
I'm talking ye olde English, aren't I? And don't call me Brian. I am Master Spenlow, the woodcutter, my liege.
Is that me? Why am I a liege?
Thy clothes proclaimeth thee as of the nobility. Thy shoes are pointed and thy jerkin is tailored.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it is Zara men. I went casual as I thought that there might be mud and poo. You don't think it is too tailored? I went for the smaller chest, but I'm not sure now.
Thy vestments befit thee well, my liege. Wouldst thou like to know about the battle?
Yes, I wouldst.
We are the forces of Ambridge, good my liege, fighting under the flag of Pargeter against the dastardly forces of Pennyhasset. They are trying to steal and pillage our land.
Oh, are they here yet? Willst there be a big fight? I do not like blood, and gun make me jump.
We expect them hourly, my lord. Their minibus has broken down on the bypass, so it could be a while.
And then, when they get here, they will steal and pillock the Village Green.
Well, They do most Saturdays, yes. But see, we are well prepared for their attack. An army marches on its stomach, so we have to ensure a ready supply of provisions. Over there, we have Mistress Carter, the dairymaid.
Oh, yes. Yoo-hoo! Susan! I like her tabard. I did not know they did laminated the name badges in the Middle Ages.
Yes, she has taken a bit of a liberty there, admittedly. We do try to be authentic.
Yes, it is very impress. All the noises is very Middle Aged, and even the smell, like the Jorvik Viking Centre. Is that part of costume preparation?
What smell?
Ah. That is very swank tent over there with flappy curtain. Who is in there?
Lady Elizabeth Lower Loxley, my liege. We fight under her banner. She passeth her time reviewing the newest recruits to her troop, sire, particularly the younger, muscular ones.
Ah! What was that? Are we being pillocked? Women, children, and those in the beauty industry first.
Fear not, my liege, 'twas but a cannon misfire. I think someone's vape fell in.
I very nearly had my own misfire then. Maybe I would be safer with the ladies of the middle-aged. Oh, there's Jolene, look. Is that special middle-aged wine?
Mistress Jolene from the inn, yes, with two big jugs. 'Tis mead, my liege, made from honey.
Ah, ye olde lemsip.
Later, Mistress Jolene will be singing with the minstrels.
Oh, I have not had a minstrel for ages. And what is over there, pray you, Master Spenlow? I like this. I am talk like Robin Hoodie.
That is our wood fire oven where Master Ian Craig doth create our victuals.
Are you sure? Because it looketh like pizza, and I don't think I like victuals, but I'm starving and I haven't had a thing in me since 10 a.m.
Unleavened bread, yes. Good Master Craig can furnish you with a choice of local flavoursome meat from the spit. Wild boar and mushroom, mozzarella and spinach, or pepperoni and pineapple.
Do you know, I thought this would be boring like history, but really, it is like a festival with no annoying music. There is fires and squash grass smell and being outside and pizza. But I think you need to attract a more metropolitan clientele. And I don't really see... Oh, wait a minute. Who is that?
Ah, that, my liege, is our blacksmith, Master Christopher Carter, about to do a live demonstration of his blacksmithing art in traditional leather apron.
Oh, now I geteth it.
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you very much.
Oh, quick question. So please, you know when Kate, they were remembering that Debbie annoyingly accused Brian of having an affair with
yes.
Joy? Was that after Jenny died?
Yes.
It was about
clothes and everything, yeah. Wasn't it? It was when she was wearing the same clothes.
Yes, that was it. Yeah, it was actually recent history. Okay, yes. Just wanted to check.
Well, you thought you were having a flashback again.
Yeah.
Or you dreamt it.
Yeah, yeah. I just, time gets so muddled up in one's mind.
Oh dear, the film will be finishing in 3 minutes.
Yes, I know. I can hear noises downstairs.
Okay, all right. We're speeding up. I can tell that the voices are slightly higher, slightly quicker. This is now. I thought this, because it's Pennsylvania 6500, isn't it? And you've done Ambridge 65,000.
Did I get it wrong?
No, I'm sure. Because if you did, Jeff did too. So everybody, either everybody got it wrong, or you got a brief that I didn't see. So I don't know what.
I don't know. I mean, hands up. I don't know what the original reference. I don't know
it's
what that
Glenn
is.
Glenn Miller, Pennsylvania 6500.
Okay. I just said what I was told to say. I just went with the brief and didn't ask any questions.
When I play it, then you'll go,
okay,
then you
okay, cool.
What it is.
Should we do our thank you very much for enjoying the show?
Oh,
no,
yes,
you might not thank you for enjoying it. You might not have enjoyed it, but thank you for listening.
Thank you for sticking with it.
Yeah, we hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And please give us... just do persevere. Carry on. Thank you very much. And thank you for your reviews on iTunes, Spotify, or whatever you like. No, this has all gone wrong. You say it.
No, that's fine. What you're saying
Thank
is fine.
Thank you. Thank you. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at On Ambridge. Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
And Febreze is currently looking for your problems to solve at the moment, because he's in quite a bossy mood, and he wants, if you have any agony auntie type problems.
What, like when I got stuck in Austria and needed to get out quickly?
No, not that sort of problem, like an emotional problem, or a love problem, or a fashion problem.
Oh my gosh. Or so similar. Hannah could write in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, Stella should write in as well.
Yeah. I'm not sure Febreze is the best person to ask about how to deal with the under sixes, to be honest.
Probably get the job done.
He comes, but in quite a, incontrovertible way, I think. Anyway, right. So we're going to play out with a song that Harriet thinks she's never heard but has. And we will see you next week.
Hooray! Oh, it's Easter next week, Lucy.
Oh, is it?
But I'm around.
Okay. So am I. Happy Easter for next
Happy
week,
Easter.
Everybody. Ready?
Good and bye.
Umbridge 65,000. Ollie.
Umbridge 65,000.
Darling. Top me up, would you? Now, are you?
Robert.
That's my going out, except the funeral song.
I think
song.
we ought to just rename the whole podcast Ambridge 65,000 to just have that as the world's greatest theme tune instead.
That was so good, Matt. Oh, Matt, you're mad. And that was brilliant. I can hear children running up the stairs. Okay. I'd better leave. But,
bye.
Bye, Lucy. Thanks. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.